Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and have a good flight to St. Petersburg. The tropical storm coming there on the Gulf Coast of Florida, so be careful and stay safe. And we will hear from you on Friday night under the roof from Tropicana Field. The Blue Jays, whose pitching was starting to fall back down to earth, remember that? They just gave up 9 runs in a 3-game series to the big-hitting Baltimore Orioles, taking 2 out of 3 in Baltimore, first and only series win of the year at the Orioles. And they extended their lead in the AL East over Baltimore, picking up a game on them, dropping them to 4 back. The Red Sox remain 2 back with their win this afternoon. The Blue Jays move into September looking pretty good in the AL East, coming off a 17-11 month of August. Phone lines are open. Time to Blue Jays talk it up at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Let's lead things off with John in Perry Sound. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you?
All right, thank you. Go great. Right ahead.
So it's an awesome victory. It's so great to see Aaron Sanchez back and just being himself, which is amazing. So my question to you, Mike, is, it appears to me, and Joe Siddle said the same thing as well, if you put Roberto Osuna into a situation which is not a save situation, he's not nearly as effective or focused, or I don't know how you put it.
Don't say focused.
Okay. He's not as effective as right. If you put him into a save situation. So I don't know what the situation is tonight. I mean, Grilly was probably not available, et cetera, but why would you put him into that situation when he proved a lot of times that he really doesn't like to be put in that situation?
Don't say that either.
Oh, I think that's a fair comment.
I don't think it's a fair comment.
You
can't.
No.
It's not a fair comment. You have no idea whether Roberto Osuna likes or doesn't like being put into save non-save situations. Look, we've seen John Gibbons do this a whole big whack of times. When there is a 4-run lead in a game that he feels like, let's just slam the door, you bring in Roberto Osuna. He has had games where he's pitched in a tie game and has given up runs. And for me, that speaks to the whole issue with this save situation, non-save situation sort of thing. Like, a save situation, it's great, you're protecting the lead, but you could have a save situation where you're up by 3 runs and you're facing a terrible team and they're 7, 8, 9 hitters and they're awful. And, you know, does your adrenaline really get pumped for that? Whereas you got a 1-run game, tie game, things like that. A tie game is not a save situation. But
yeah.
I would bring Roberto Osuna in to pitch in a tie game as often as I possibly can because he's your best reliever. So, you know, you look at his numbers in non-save situations. I think that that he has an ERA of 3.65. Someone tweeted after today's game. I'm not 100% sure. I'm going to try to find that out for you. But so if you're in a non-save, it was 3.55 going into today's game, and he gave up 2 runs. So it's more than that now. His ERA in non-save situations, I'll give you the up to the minute numbers, is now. Math is hard on the fly. 4.10. It's not good. It's not good.
Who else was available to pitch if Roberto didn't tonight? I guess it would be my question.
For me, it doesn't matter. I want Roberto Osuna in that game with an off day tomorrow, so I don't have to worry about, you know, spoiling him or anything, not being able to use him tomorrow because you're off. He's my best pitcher. This is a rubber match of a road series against a division rival that I really want to win. I'm going with Roberto Osuna, plain and simple. That's the guy in whose hands I want it. And look, he's got an ERA of 4.10 in non-save situations, which means, on average, every other time he pitches an inning in a non-save situation, he gives up a run. And that doesn't mean anything because you're up by four, at least, right?
So who cares, right?
Pardon?
They're up by 4, so who cares?
Exactly.
If he gives up one. But
right.
He just doesn't seem to like that situation.
Don't say that. Don't say, don't talk about what's in his head. Don't talk about what he's thinking,
no. I mean,
what he likes or doesn't like.
I have no idea.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
I honestly, I appreciate it. I honestly think it's more coincidence than anything else. I really do. And you know what? If he's going to, if I'm going to put him in a non-safe situation and he's going to give up two runs, that's fine. I'm still going to win the game. Right? Still going to win the game. He's the best reliever. He should be out there when you need outs. Especially, like, if they were off tomorrow, then I would say, if they weren't off tomorrow, I would say, yeah, Roberto Osuna shouldn't have been in that game. Send Scott Feldman back out for the ninth. See if he can get the job done. But you're still warming Osuna that whole time. Because in case Feldman gets into trouble, Osuna's going to come in. But still, off day tomorrow, I have no problem at all. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. A trade. Little one. That's all they're going to be, little ones, trickling in over the next hour and a half before the playoff eligibility deadline. The New York Mets have picked up Fernando Salas from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for a minor league pitcher. And that's, it's going to be little tweaks here and there. So far, not so much from the Blue Jays. Jays beat the Orioles 5-3. They go 17-11 in August. They're two up on the Red Sox, four up on the Orioles as they move into September. And how about that? Another season of meaningful September games. Strap in, because it's going to be a wild ride. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Well, here's Jose Bautista, and on a just plain beautiful night for a ball game, it's time to play ball. The veteran, Yadier Gallardo, goes into his windup, his first pitch of the night, hit into left center field deep. Long run for the center fielder, moving back, and at the wall, looks up, there she goes. Nolan Reimold had to just watch it fly out of the ballpark. And on the first pitch to start the game, Jose Bautista has hit his 17th home run, and the Blue Jays are in flight here, leading 1-0. That didn't take long.
Sure didn't. Eighth time in Blue Jays history that the first pitch of the ball game has gone deep. Jose Bautista with his fourth leadoff home run of the season. And Russell Martin would hit a two-run home run later in that inning. Michael Saunders went deep as well. Devin Travis with an RBI double to pace the Blue Jays to a 5-3 win over the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Jeff is in Guelph. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Just want to say, first off, thank you for everything you do post-game show, and some of the phone calls you get can't be all that easy sometimes.
It's a lot of fun. Thank you.
I would just like to talk about the middle relief to late relief pitching with Scott Feldman and Brett Cecil and so on and so forth. And kind of the improvement that those guys have shown throughout the year. I know Cecil's not where everybody wants him to be yet, but it kind of seems like he's showing some signs of coming along. And if we can get him back for the pennant race, it's going to be a heck of a ride.
I hope so. I mean, I'm not seeing the signs with Cecil. He's been up and down for me, but he's got it in there. And if it can come out, it would be great. As for, you know, the relief, I mean, you switch up some guys who weren't performing. Jesse Chavez and Drew Storen are gone. Joaquin Benoit and Scott Feldman are here. And though Feldman's numbers are kind of ugly, I think it's really just two bad outings that has affected those overall numbers. The first one, and then he gave up four runs another time. But, I mean, the Blue Jays have moved from a bullpen that's been shaky to one that's pretty locked down.
Yeah, and the addition of Jason Grilly to this bullpen has been, I mean, there's nothing more exciting than watching that guy in the eighth inning, especially as excited as he gets for as many years as he's been doing it.
No, it's you know, that's where you see, like, someone who is completely revitalized by being in a new situation. They talk all the time. One of those sports cliches is guy needs a change of scenery. This is exactly what the deal is for Jason Grilly.
And one other quick question, I'll let you go and get to the rest of your callers, is what do you think the future is of Ryan Goins with this ball club? I mean, I'd hate to see him go just because of his defense. And, I mean, his average last year and the numbers he put up at the plate were good. And if you think he can do it again, or if he kind of has to adjust to what the league's caught on to with him last year. I know I hate to use that.
It was 1 month. Using. I mean, he had a great month last year. That was it. August was just ridiculous, and I've never seen anything like that from him, and I don't think we'll ever see that from him again. But the question is, like, what's Ryan Goins' role on this team beyond this year? Next year, you've got Devin Travis is your second baseman. Troy Tulowitzki is your shortstop. So you've got Darwin Barney and you've got Ryan Goins, who are two guys who do the same thing.
Yeah, and I guess you got to – and what would his trade value be on the market? Like, would you be able to get a young pitching prospect? No. Or what would his trade value be?
Nothing. Really not much. I mean, you look at the Blue Jays got Darwin Barney last September for nothing, and they re-signed him as a free agent for $1 million. That's Ryan Goins' value. But, I mean, Goins isn't a free agent anytime soon. He's under control, and I don't know if he's going to have options after this year. He may not, so they may have to make a decision on him that way. But Ryan Goins is basically a really nice utility infielder to have, and that's about it.
Well, if that's the case, then do you let Barney go and develop Goins, because he is younger? And
yeah, but Barney's better.
At the moment.
Yeah, there's Ryan's not young. He's what, 27, 28? I don't think he's going to become an above-average major league hitter. So, you know, he's a nice piece, but he's not someone who I would even have spent this much time talking about worrying about his future with the team.
Fair enough. Thanks for taking my call.
All right. Appreciate it. And I know you have people have their favorites and people have players they really like, and that's wonderful. Everyone should have that. And for, you know, for some guys, just Ryan Goins is a piece, but a very replaceable one and sort of a redundant one when you have Darwin Barney and Devin Travis and Troy Tulowitzki, of course. So, yeah, he comes to – I mean, I don't think you can get anything major for him in trade. He's part of this team, and he's going to be a part of this team down the stretch, and he's going to make some huge defensive plays down the stretch, and he might even get a big hit or two, helping the Blue Jays to a division title. We'll take more of your calls, but let's hear from the skipper first. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 5-3 win over the Baltimore Orioles.
Sanchez, pretty solid tonight.
Hey, Ken, I thought he was really good. You know, I think that Rez probably did him a world of wonders. You know, they battled and they made a run at him late. But just showed you how far he's come. He managed to hang in there and get the big out, you know, in the fifth. Then he'd go back out for the sixth, you know. And we needed at least six at him because we were strapped down there tonight, so... Yeah, he did a hell of a job.
He looked like he was a little bit gassed, but he seemed to pitch.
Well, you know what I mean? I think the same thing. Inning. Yeah, the same thing got happened last night. I think, you know, it's muggy here. You know, that takes his toll a little bit, you know, but he battled. So it's good to have him back.
We talked about it a few times this year, I feel like, but the fifth inning, I feel like last year might have been one that unraveled on a little bit. It just seems like he's so much more.
He's definitely a different guy. You know, it could Eggman. Fifth, it could have been the third. You know, I mean, his issues were early in the year, control overall. You know, and then but you know, he's. I mean, really, it's just with the maturing process. You know, because he's got all the talent. That's just the experience and going through it enough times. You know,
is Asuna okay? It looked like he took one off the body there.
Yeah, he took. No, he took it off his glove hand. He'll be fine.
Russell really didn't have a very good start to this season, and he's turned it up big time in the second half, offensively.
Yeah, Kenny, I mean, you look at, you know, we've always said this, you guys even say it, that, you know, the guys have been around a while, usually they find their norm, you know, regardless of the start or something like that. And that's just what he's doing, you know, big home run, you know, to give us a little lead, you know, after Batista's early on, you know, they made that stand, you know, it was a little tight there for a while, and then, you know, then we got the big home run late from Saunders, too, that little extra cushion, the big RBI double there by, you know, Travis, because... You know, they keep coming at you. You saw a perfect example of the ninth. You know, probably the top strike, quick strike offense in baseball, you know.
Navarro, maybe not known for his speed, but that run then ended up mattering for you guys, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, he's definitely not known for speed. Big run, though, yeah, definitely.
Doesn't mean to get two out of three here.
Well, that's big. You know, they, you know, they play really good home. You know, we battle them, you know, it doesn't matter where. And, you know, it's never easy when you play these guys. And this time of year, I mean, this is a team we're locked in it with. It's always big, to beat them.
I know there's a lot of baseball to play yet, but do you feel like the momentum is there for this team right now for you going forward into the month of September?
No, I don't feel any of that. You know, we're just going to approach it. We're going to come out and try to win that night, you know, regardless, and then, see where we all end up.
Any decision on a starter for Friday?
No, we're going to keep everybody guessing. sorry, Brendan.
That's all right. I'll survive.
All righty? Let's get out of Dodge.
Let's get out of Dodge with a win. 2 out of 3, the Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles. And come on, turn off your damn phone. Whoever that was, it's probably Gibby. Phone's on silent when you're in the manager's office in a scrum. Really? So we don't know who's going to start Friday. It will be either R.A. Dickey or Francisco Liriano, you would imagine. Francisco Liriano has made 4 starts as a Blue Jay, and they have all been on Fridays. So it's probably going to be him. We'll see. The Blue Jays will open up series in St. Petersburg against Tampa Bay Rays. Alex Cobb scheduled to start for the Rays, his first start of the season. The Rays ace coming off of Tommy John surgery. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles 5-3. They take the series, and the Jays are 2 games up on the Red Sox, 4 games up on the Orioles after their 17-11 month of August. Lee in Midtown Toronto. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Mike. Called with a lot of positivity tonight. Great to see a single A pitcher come up from the minors and pitch a fantastic game. Just joking. And also Captain Canada. Wow, what a fantastic, heads up game for him. And nice to see Navarro in DH. It's been a while, and it's nice to have that back. So lots of positivity here. I'm just forget my question now, Mike. Sorry about that. Just called, just so happy.
All right. Well, happy's good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the call. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Deonner Navarro DHing, though. Once we get into September and the roster expands, there will be a third catcher. The Blue Jays are hoping it'll be Josh Tolley, and honestly, there's no reason to believe it won't be Josh Tolley. I expect them to announce his signing sometime in the next hour. But if not, it's Eric Kratz or TJ Jimenez, and that allows you to DH Navarro every once in a while. But there are lots of guys who can DH. Saunders swinging the bat really, really well now. Upton as well. Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion. So you're not lacking for a DH, though I'm sure they'll get Deonner Navarro some at-bats. It was really good to see him today go 2-for-4 and score that run coming all the way around from first base on the Devin Travis double. Barb's in Markdale. Hey, Barb.
Hi there.
Hello.
Great game tonight.
Yeah.
My only question is, I'm kind of new to baseball, but I've seen Gibby give a lot of people a second chance.
Yep.
But I was really disappointed that Gurley did not pitch in the eighth. He's their eighth inning. Why did they sit him down? Just because of last night?
No, not at all. He's their eighth inning guy in save situations, in hold situations. And tonight was not that. The Blue Jays had a 4-run lead, and Jason Gurley, he's not the guy when the lead's that big. You save him for when the game is tighter. And that's all there was to that. It was not a punishment. It wasn't a lack of faith or anything like that. It had nothing to do with last night.
Well, to new baseball people, it looked like that.
Okay.
It looked like that just because he let them happen.
Consider yourself educated then.
Edwin doesn't do as well when he DHs. Why do they put smoke in all the time? Well, once in a while. Because Edwin does better when he's on first base when he hits.
Again, correlation is not causation. Edwin Encarnacion, I believe, does in fact have better numbers as a first baseman than as a designated hitter this year, but I don't really think that has anything to do with anything. Smoke is a better defensive first baseman than Edwin, though Edwin is a fine defensive first baseman, no issue with him playing first. But Edwin needs to be off his feet every once in a while, and maybe even more than every once in a while. So he... For me, the guy who should be getting the most DH at-bats on the team is Edwin Encarnacion, and I believe that the difference in the numbers between when he DHs and when he plays first is just a coincidence.
Don't you think if they give him more DHs and he doesn't hit as well, that it's going to hurt his contract when he goes out?
I don't care about his contract. Neither do the Blue Jays. It's going to be a fantastic contract. The Blue Jays cannot be concerned with how much money Edwin Encarnacion is going to make next year. The Blue Jays have to worry about winning games. And again, I'll say it again. I think it's just a coincidence. I really do. Phil in Bradford. Hey, Phil.
How's it going, Mike?
Good. Go right ahead.
Okay, so I got a little stat for you today that I was, before the game, I was looking at. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, I think I have, but go ahead.
Through 132 games?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, because I was like 4-5 in 92 and 93, so I really don't remember the team.
It was really good.
It was really good. Well, I think this team is really good.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't really say how good the Blue Jays are. Like, maybe the Canadians do, but, you know, when I look at, you know, the pundits in America, like, they're very nonchalant not talking about the Blue Jays, even though I think the only team that can actually beat them right now is the Chicago Cubs. How does this team stack up to the last four teams? So 2016, 2015, the 93 team, and the 92, in your opinion?
It's impossible. That's an impossible question to answer. It's
really?
So, yeah, baseball is so different now than it was 24 years ago. You know, they're entirely different everything. I mean, now you would have a guy with Joe Carter's numbers in the middle of your lineup, that's laughable. That would never happen. A guy like Devon White leading off with like a 303 on base percentage. He did that in either 92 or 93. I don't remember. But
so you're saying the pitching is a lot better now?
I think the Blue Jays offense now is a lot better than it was in 92 and 93. The pitching is absolutely better than it was in 93 for sure. But again, it's a different era. It's a different, like, steroids were rampant in the game way back then. And there was a lot more offense, and there were things now that are getting paid attention to that weren't then. I really find it hard to compare over eras anyway.
Okay.
I mean, I'll take Henderson, Alomar, Molitor, Olerud in 1993 with anybody. That was phenomenal group. But this is a pretty good group too.
How about 2015 to 2016? Since I don't want to jinx it, but look. You know, I don't even like saying jinx it, because I think we are going to be in the playoffs, and I think we are going to finish first place. How do you like our team compared to last year's team going into the playoffs?
Well, we still have a month until they go into the playoffs, so hopefully everybody stays healthy and things could change between now and then, of course. And don't worry about jinxing anything, because you can't. Jinxes don't exist. The pitching staff is obviously much better this year, much better. The bullpen is really good, though towards the end of the season, it was really good last year too. The offense does not seem to be as good, which is weird, because, you know, you still have Bautista, Donaldson, Encarnacion, Martin, Tulowitzki's hitting better now. You've got a healthy Devin Travis, and you've got Michael Saunders, but the Blue Jays haven't been throwing down offensively to the extent they did last year as often this year. That could change, though it's hard to imagine, because all but six or seven of their remaining games this season are against the AL East. So there are going to be a lot of dogfights, and there are not going to be a lot of blowouts. But I think overall, top to bottom, this is a better team than the 2015 team. But the 2015 team had David Price, and this team doesn't. And the 2015 team had a Marcus Stroman that was absolutely on fire in September and October. And he's starting to come back and come around to that, and that would be something. Sanchez, Hap, Estrada is Estrada. It's a tough comparison. It seems like pitching's better, offense is worse, but the offense should be better. They just went into Baltimore and they beat the Orioles two out of three, and they scored 13 runs in the three games, but there are a lot of people who feel like, well, they should have scored 13 runs in an inning against a Wade Miley or an Ubaldo Jimenez. So it's been weird that they haven't hit more, and yet they're still third in the league in runs scored. This is a really good team. It doesn't need to be compared to anybody else. It doesn't need to any of that. By the way, a note here. For the three-game series, the Orioles drew 47,775, which is like 1,000 more than the Blue Jays drew Sunday against Minnesota. That's embarrassing, Baltimore. And a lot of them were Blue Jays fans. Jays beat the Orioles 5-3. We'll come back and wrap it up. Postgame's brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 5-3. And with the Orioles' loss and the Tigers' 3-2 win over the Chicago White Sox, that means Baltimore and Detroit are now tied for the second wild card in the American League. Two games behind the Boston Red Sox, who hold the first wild card. The Houston Astros, who also won tonight 4-3 over Oakland, are just a game behind the Tigers and Orioles. The Blue Jays are first in the AL East by 2 over Boston, 4 over Baltimore, and they head to Tampa Bay to open a three-game series Friday night after an off day tomorrow. We're on at 7 Eastern. Blue Jays haven't announced their starter yet. It'll be Alex Cobb for the Rays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry, Joe, Tom, Emil, and Goldberg, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Toronto.